You're listening to the Tram Rats Podcast, a couple's adventures in World of Warcraft. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tram Rats Podcast, episode number 2. I'm your host, Flux, along with my co-host, Pinky Toes.
Hello.
And it is 15th of June, 2011. We are each doing a few things while we record the podcast, and we're going to bring you some interesting topics. We're going to basically just BS about what's been going on in World of Warcraft.
Pretty much.
And so what are you doing while we're getting ready to record the podcast? What are you up to in the game?
Actually, I'm just trying to do my achievement for the Dalaran coin. So that's what I'm doing. Just
fishing. Should I bring my proto drake in front of all you guys fishing mounts?
No, don't be a troll.
My drake needs a bath, though.
No, you're in my way.
I'm actually gonna go level up my fishing while we're doing this. I figure that's a pretty nice, easy thing that we can do. I'm at 421.
Oh, fishing?
Yeah, 421, and this girl. Someone just whispered me and says, don't be a something, but
asterisk.
Like, yeah, asterisk.
Oh, you know who it is? It's right this guy right next to you.
I know. Look, I'll just stand in front of him on my Ashes of Alar instead. Is that more of being an ass?
Yeah, pretty much. Just laugh and then.
All right. So, yeah, I'm at 421. I got to find out what level this lady's can teach me the next fishing. 425. Oh, well, I'm just going to get to 425 here, and then actually I'm just going to go in the sewers. So
if you get a giant sewer rat, I'm going to cry.
Like your brother who got not just one, but two.
Yeah,
exactly. Had to like destroy a second one. So, and I need to put on my fishing outfit.
Oh, thanks for reminding. Oh, wait, I can't put on my fishing helm because it'll take away my pirate hat.
Oh, yeah. Can you talk to us a little bit about your pirate hat?
So I got up at the butt crack of dawn because I was still sick from yesterday. So just taking it easy. And actually, I don't even know why I decided to go over there. I was like, oh, you know what? I want the pirate hat. And I found the one spawn you said that always spawns, the pirate on top, the horde character that's on top in Vajir, and then went down and did the, I was just swimming along on my little seahorse guy, and he was actually there. So I probably shouldn't have killed him. I should have just had Flux log on and onto one of his tunes to summon my level 1 bank alt. But oh well, I have it on Tazy now, so I'm pretty happy. So I got Bergie's Blackheart Handsome Hat.
Nice.
So, yeah.
It looks like somebody's trying to bark mysterious fortune cards.
Yeah, he's not going to win.
Should I go on my should I go over on my inscriptionist and like snipe all of his sales?
No, it's people are already putting him up.
No. Yeah.
Like for like 11 yeah. golds, 99 silver.
Yeah, but I put them up at 11 gold, 98 silver, and then they sell. And if I put them up fast enough, then, but it's all right. I won't use that tactic since this is the Tram Rats podcast, not the Powered Gold mm-hmm, podcast. Mm-hmm. I'll pretend. Do you want to, let's get going by talking about what we've been doing with our characters since our last podcast. Why don't you go ahead and start off with Underbelly Elixir. Go ahead and start off with maybe a few things that you've been doing with some of your characters since we last recorded our podcast.
Let's see. Did I talk about Cricket? I think I'm not sure if I can't remember. I moved her over to the Horde side. So now she's a goblin, and I've been going back and forth deciding whether to take Tazy over there too.
That's your mage that you brought over?
Yeah, that's my mage I took over. I don't know. I just enjoy healing for some reason, and I don't know. I mean, I don't mind. Sometimes I don't mind, like, the 30-minute queues for DPS, but when that's all you can do as to queue as DPS, then it kind of gets boring when there's like nothing really else to do. So just been trying to go back and forth whether to take Tazi over or not. But other than that, I mean, I've just been leveling up. Not leveling up, but doing dungeons and actually started PvPing again. I didn't really PvP with her in Wrath. I PvP'd on my mage, or not my mage, but my, what was it? My priest. So it's been fun actually PvPing as a healer with my shaman.
Okay, let me think. Is that another underbelly elixir? No. Everybody looks like mages now.
Yeah.
So
I hate that one.
What I've been doing in the game lately is I got my rogue up to 85, and that's my alliance goblin that was playing with you, and I
not an alliance goblin.
Oh,
it's a horde goblin.
Horde goblin, and I spent about 7K.
You're crazy.
Getting her geared up to do. Basically jumping straight from level 85 to the item level that lets you get into heroics. And I didn't know why I had such a hard time getting into the looking for dungeon system with the gear that I had. I didn't think it was that bad, but I realized now what happened was that there was my heirloom headpiece and my heirloom back were on, but they have zero item level. So essentially that whole slot was not counting towards my item level. And
oh,
I had
sucks.
To... had to buy a new, so that's why I was so low. So I bought new items for everything. I got every slot that I could fill with gear that was the right level, I filled in, but if not, like I just bought a leather, or I bought like a mail, or like a plate or a cloth piece that I could just hold in my bags. Because the 85 heirloom head and back are still pretty good when you're starting out, but you need another item level to fill in. So that's what I've been doing her, and I went, and I'll talk a little bit more about my first heroic, or my first heroic on her, or second heroic on her. It was pretty interesting.
That's kind of what I want to take Tazi over to the horde side, is so that I can heal for you as you're on your rogue.
Yeah, we're gonna talk a little bit about our dungeon experiences a little bit later, but overall I think that I've had less than exciting experiences in dungeons recently. But and I'm just trying to think of what else I've been doing on any of my characters. I've started a couple alts on other servers for a few different servers for people that are in the gold making community. And so that's been fun leveling up a paladin from level 1. And I actually died a few times. I know people are going to not believe it because paladins are supposed to never die, but I did die a few times. And actually, you know what? This guy is keeping barking his mysterious fortune cards literally like every 20 seconds.
No, it's the guy that's barking the willing to sell.
No, I put him on. I reported him for spam, and I haven't seen him any of his barks since. So the report for spam thing actually does work. No, I can't sit here while this guy barks and not snipe all of his sales. So I don't actually know if he's making any sales. He's using like pretty much word for word barks from some of the blogs that are out there for it. So he's working it, which if he wants to put all the effort into doing the barking, then I'll make some money. So I'm going to do that really quick here.
Well, I don't understand. That guy's been trying to sell that disgusting oozling for like, what, the last 2 days? I have offered him 7.5 and he said no, 9. Good luck with that one, dude.
Yeah, everybody started basically reporting him. That's what they said. So we'll see if this guy's barks are actually working or not. I'm going to put up a few. So I got time. Actually, I'll start milling some more ore. Yeah, I'll start making some more ore for it. So, all right. Well, let's go ahead and get into a discussion topic here. Pinky Toes, what did you think about our Serpent Shrine Cavern pug experience that we had today, and what do you think in all about, is there such a thing as a wrath baby, and if so, did we experience it today?
Oh my goodness, yes. That was terrible. I always say that word's terrible. It wasn't really terrible. It was just, it's kind of frustrating, actually. And I understand, like, there's people that just barely come into this game and really don't know what's going on, which is fine.
Do you want to, like, tell the actual story about what happened?
Well, yeah, I'm just saying, like, I'm guessing I just always expect people to know, like, how to do Mag-E or Gruul or, you know, like, Serpentstrine. Like, just, I just always expect it. But, so they were looking for more, and I told Flux, I'm like, oh, you should come along. So he's like, okay. So I jumped on a shaman, and there was not too many 70s in the run, and there was a few 85s. So we went and did Lady Vosh, and it was fine. I mean, we were taking the stuff down pretty fast, but if you don't know how to do Lady Vosh, it's basically is at a certain point, you can't target, or not target her, but you can't cast spells on her anymore, and you have to wait for the tainted ores. But if you get a tainted ore, then it freezes your blade.
Tainted core.
Core, that's what I meant, sorry. And you have to throw it to the person, the next person, so they can click on the pillar. And no one was doing that. Oh my gosh.
Because it makes you...
Oh, and then plus
it
they
freezes
didn't
you
on.
In place when you have it in your bag, right?
Yeah. And the person, the raid leader, didn't put it on free-for-all. Oh my gosh. So we were just like running around and
so
running around.
The cores were like locked to a certain person.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember when we used to do that, people would be like, it's on free for all. Just make sure that you switch it back before the boss dies or whatever. I don't know.
Right. And but the other thing too was you had vent back then. I mean, you didn't just go in and do it. I mean, if you did, your group knew what they were doing. So it was just, oh my gosh, took way too long just to take her down.
There was something that I learned when Wrath of the Lich King came out that is essentially when we started doing heroic dungeons in Wrath of the Lich King, is that if there is, let's see, if there's a quest or if there's a mechanic in a if there's a mechanic in a dungeon that is takes longer than two sentences to explain, then it's going to be a failure for anybody that's not using Ventrilo. And like early on in Wrath of Lich King, this is true for Zur'Math the Obliterator in heroic what was it called, Violet Hold.
Yeah,
he basically went into a shroud, and when he was in his shroud, if you hit him, it did a 20% debuff where it would reduce your healing that you received by 20%. So essentially, if you hit this guy five times while he was in his shroud, you couldn't get healed, which pretty much if the tank did that, like they can't get healed, they're going to get killed. If DPS did that, they're going to get killed because there was adds that spawned. And so that was the first mechanic that people had to know about. The second mechanic was that there was these adds that spawned and would cast shadow bolts at people. Now, Zur'Math would put a debuff on somebody that would allow that person to see the adds and kill the adds. And they didn't have a lot of health. But essentially, if the person didn't know that they were supposed to kill the adds, or if it was the healer or the tank, which it could have been, you would have all these guys that would be invisible to everybody else and just keep sending out these shadow bolts. And if you're immune to healing, you can tell, like, this is a recipe for disaster. So I basically had a macro setup that would tell people what to do on this particular fight. But the fight that's in Serpentine Cavern is kind of like a really bad version of a bucket brigade, where, you know, like you're like you're saying, we used to have, when we used to do it, we used to have people that were killing the tainteds, and then we would have somebody standing on top of the stairs, and then we would have somebody standing next to the pillars. So you would loot the core, throw it to the person at the top of the stairs, that person would throw it to the person that was next to the pillar, and that person would click. Now, trying to get a bunch of random people from trade chat nowadays to know what the heck's going on is just really hard. I mean, I understand, like, we didn't explain anything to them. I was actually typing while Vash was sitting there for, like, I think it was probably 7 or 8 minutes of just people not knowing what the heck was going on. And so...
Well, what made me laugh was even after we killed her and they're like, okay, on to the next bosses. And they like started Lurker when half of us weren't there, which was fine because like we took them
down. Yeah, we were jumping
fast.
Down and we're like, oh, someone's fishing. And it's like they got an achievement sound and I'm like, I got a bad feeling about this.
Well, and then the 7D bear, the druid, like just went in like he wasn't going to get killed. But I mean, when you're taking down those packs... I mean, his health was dipping, I mean, like, fast, you know, and it was easy to keep him up for me, but I'm just saying, like, he just went in, like, oh, you know, I've got an 85 healer, I'll be okay, but I was just like, oh my gosh, dude.
So, and the thing about, I mean, it's a derogatory term to call someone a wrath baby or a catababy or... And the term essentially means that that person started playing the game in that expansion and that they don't really know anything about the expansion before.
It was just fun to be in it just to see, you know, there's people that have... Woohoo, I got Master Fisherman.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm making 40 Darkmoon Fair cards.
Let's
go kill him. Let's go kill him.
Is he underneath?
Yeah, we got to hurry, though.
Okay.
Putritus the Ancient just popped, and now it's like everybody in Dalaran is basically going to go run to try to kill him.
Oh, you're not my group.
Oh, well. Just go out the back way.
The back way?
Hold on, let me invite you to the group.
Okay.
Yeah, I hate when this happens because every single time he spawns, I run over there to try to kill him, and I don't make it. So you think you're going to be able to heal me, my little level 80 warlock? Or 84? 82 warlock?
Yeah.
Oh, there he is. There he is. He's still alive.
Okay. I'm flying as fast as I can.
Come on. See, I got 310 speed because I knew that I needed it for... somebody bought my Mysterious Fortune cards. Sucker. When I heart back to Dalaran, I'm going to flood your market. I'm flooded. So I just made 10 gold.
Congratulations.
So, yeah. All right. He is down there.
I'm not there yet.
Okay.
Oh, I see him. He's walking in front of me.
Yeah, we got to tag him or else... Oh, is that you?
Yeah.
No. That's somebody else.
No.
I got to tag him. Oh, son of a... That person just jumped down and tagged him, and there's no reason for us to kill him now.
Who is he?
He's a horde.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Literally, we were 1 second too late. Like, I was jumping down, and I was trying to hit an action bar.
Well, I'm not going to heal him.
I know, I'm not going to either.
He's running in place.
But there's...
Yeah, but see, the horde guy is running in place.
Oh, he's got the scourge, guys. Okay, well, let's get back up on our mounts while we're not in combat. Okay.
Oh, there's his megadome behind him.
He doesn't have any...
I know, but the healer behind him.
Where's the healer?
His name is Megadome. Do you see him? He's on a...
No.
Oh, you didn't see him?
No, I don't see a healer.
More.
Oh, come on. 97. He's getting healed somehow. He's got war guys on him. Oh, there's...
Yeah, but
he just came back.
Yeah, but his healer's not there.
This makes me mad. Seriously, I'm never going to get to kill this guy. I'm going to go summon my Voidwalker while we're waiting. Is that you on this Sunshine Kitty?
Yeah.
Okay, Voidwalker. Dang it. I can't do anything. This makes me mad. Yeah.
Aww.
I wish I could, like, kill him somehow, but I can't.
I know.
This is, like, the fourth time I've tried to kill this guy, and he doesn't...
Does he drop anything?
Yes, he drops the satchel of adventures, satchel that has blues in it. Oh, well, I'm... Instead of trying to ruin that guy, I'm just going to go ruin the glyph seller on my stay. All right, so I'm just
gonna... Okay, so back to the podcast.
Yeah, they're along for the ride.
Yeah.
They said that they like to hear conversations. So essentially, if you've played the game at any point and joined it, I mean, I'm a Burning Crusade baby. If you ask me anything about vanilla, I can claim that I played in vanilla, but literally I played up till like level 35. So I really know nothing about it. Like, I didn't play it in the day back when it was.
So what would you say I am then?
You actually got to level 60 in vanilla, so, and you played it a lot more than I did.
Would it be not an early vanilla baby, but the later.
Yeah.
The toddler.
Vanilla toddler. But like, so I don't know anything. So I guess somebody could say, you know, you're a Burning Crusade baby or something like that. But, you know, and it doesn't matter when you came into the game.
It was just interesting to see them try to do, like, probably it's like someone running Sunwell. I have been in a group like that before where no one knew what was going on. And then
oh yeah.
And you get stuck in the portals, and oh my gosh.
Anything that takes more than two sentences to explain, and that's what the thing that I think. He's already got competition. Datic is undercutting him as well. This guy, like whoever this guy is, like I'm sorry, but you're just making yourself look silly
making all the other people.
You're spamming the trade chat like way too much.
Oh, I put him on ignore.
The glyph seller, or the seller that's selling the mysterious fortune cards?
Yeah. And I finally put the other guy that's selling the disgusting oozling on ignore.
Reported him. Yeah. I think you can probably get that out of the bag that you get for tanking or healing.
Oh yeah. Yeah, because I have been seeing it pop up a little bit more than usual.
I'll see.
He could have been 7.5 golds richer, but if he wants to stick with his 9, you know, good for him.
I'm going to go over and actually...
They really do need to make shamans gnomes. I think I'm going to put in a ticket for that.
So if you were creating the lore for the shaman gnome, what would you say would be the reason why they were able to do...
I have no clue. Just because they're cute.
Make something up.
Because they're cute. There you go.
Well, why are other people shaman, I guess, would be the question.
I don't know.
I think gnomes could be shamans because they're underground.
Yeah.
Oh no.
They're mischievous.
I wanted to go to Wintergrass, but instead I went to Caverns of Time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you want me to summon you back?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay.
Since we have the awesome level 25 guild perk.
Have group will travel.
Yeah, if I wanted to, I could just fly up on my mount and then fall down and die, and then you could mass res me just for fun. Actually, so on my warlock, I didn't play... See, this is another thing.
She died. Sorry.
I didn't play in vanilla, and so I didn't know... I need a smaller pet. Let's see here. Oh my gosh, I spent...
Oh, I'm sorry, but goblins naked are not pretty looking.
When did you see a goblin naked?
Oh, she was just in front of me.
See? Somebody bought my mysterious fortune cards. Oh, I just sold 4 more. I'm going to put more up. I was going to go do some auctions, but I'm just going to keep putting more up. So I didn't ever see this headpiece that I have on. That's the new one that you get for the guild called the Tattered Dreadmist Mask.
Mm-hmm.
And I never used it or knew. I never even saw it, but it's just like the awesomest looking helmet. Like, I love it. I don't really love the shoulders, but the headpiece just makes... Like, this is what I think a warlock should be. He's got, like... His face is like in shadows. His eyes are glowing red. It's like purple and gold, and it's got like a cool jaggy like Jafar collar in the back. And so I blend it with my Kirin Tor tabard, and it seems to match pretty well.
Did you put the card seller on ignore?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Are you reading what he's saying in trade? He's good luck, card buyers. I want to put in there, yeah, thank you for making all of us richer.
Yeah, I just sold another card, so. Honestly, if people talk or bashing you in trade chat, then actually it makes more sales happen, but mm-hmm. I'm just a, what do you call it? I'm an opportunist, so. I sneak in under the wire, but.
Oh, his are 10 gold each now. I think because he knew people were undercutting him.
No, his aren't 10 gold. I just refreshed it.
He said 10 gold each in the auction house.
I know. Well, they're not.
Most.
yeah, they're at $10.99. He's like, someone's buying my cards, not his cards.
Sucker.
So, all right, let's get on to our next thing that we're going to talk about, Throne of the Tides. I wanted to talk a little bit about a dungeon experience that I had in Throne of the Tides. So this is my second heroic that I was doing on my goblin, and I don't know if any of you guys out there that are listening to this have ever had the experience where you're in a dungeon looking for dungeon group that is so bad that you literally have to get to, you have to, you can't leave. You're like, it's like a car accident. You basically have to stay just to see how bad it can get. And so I was in a group like this, and essentially what happened was I got in the group and they had already killed some of the trash, which isn't really a good sign. Like, we were on the first pole, was down, and somebody had left. So, there was no CC. There was no interrupts. There was no anything. And even when we did get a few CCs right, like, I think the shaman kept doing chain lightning and breaking all the CCs.
Oh my gosh.
And on heroic, it's hard because there's ladies that like heal everybody. And so you can pretty much be like trying to take down this mob. But in reality, there's just a girl in the background healing. And so we get to the first boss, and basically we wipe about four times before anybody quits. And I don't know if it was a healer, or I don't know if it was the tank, or if it was a combination of it, but one person leaves, and then we get another person, and then
that
person
lady?
Leaves. Yeah, the lady who has the three ads that come up. And so it got to the point where everybody was leaving, the healer was leaving, and the healer had actually been there for a while, and so I was like frustrated, but like I said, I wanted to see how bad this could get. And so what I did was I left the dungeon, like I teleported out of the dungeon, but I didn't leave the group. So essentially I'm out of the dungeon, and I kept canceling my queue. Like, they would try to queue it and I would cancel it. They would try to queue it and I would cancel it. But I wasn't in the dungeon. So finally, there's just a hunter and a warrior and me. And then the warrior leaves. And so then I queue.
Oh, so you're waiting.
I was waiting for the warrior to leave because he was really bad. Like, he was really bad. And I think he was the reason why the healers kept leaving. And then we got a new group. And this time when there was new people coming in, somebody was AFK. And so the tank's like, oh, they're AFK. So then he just pulled the boss with. So we were basically formatting it. And I'm like, oh, okay. So that, you know, this is going from not bad to worse, but then we wipe three times on that because or two more times, and it gets to the point where it's just me and I think almost everybody leaves, and it's down to just me by myself. I'm like the last person in the dungeon. I'm like, and I just queue.
Nice.
And we get four more people, and then we basically just go through and one-shot the rest of the dungeon. So it's one of those things where I don't know if it's because, I mean, I think I have a tendency to blame everything on the time of the year because
school's out for the summer.
Yeah, I've never really been paying attention to much of what's going on. I'm noticing it for the economy just because I write a gold blog, which is poweredgold.net. It's if anybody wants to read about making gold. But I think that it's also affecting the looking for dungeons, where people are basically coming into the game that don't play a lot and they have a lot more time to play. And so they're basically flooding the looking for dungeon. And it's kind of an interesting thing. I'm not quite sure what to think about it, but I think the other thing is that I'm playing on characters that are a little bit lower geared. So when you're doing lower geared characters, you tend to get people that are around the same gear level. I think the Dungeon Finder tries to tries to match people up by gear level, so you don't get like a tank that's just barely available for looking for dungeon with, like it was in Wrath of Lich King, where you'd get, you would be the tank and then all your DPS would be like tiered out in like the highest raid tier that they could.
I hated that. Oh my gosh, that was a nightmare.
So, but you said when we were getting ready to do the podcast that you had a experience that you wanted to talk about. So, do you want to talk about your Throne of Tides experience?
Yeah, that's pretty funny that you had your Throne of Tides and I had the same thing. I was actually on my shaman, and it was to get the satchel. So, of course, I went in.
We're going to have to talk about the satchel later because it's tearing us apart.
So. It is, isn't it? I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
The satchel comes first. So I got in as a healer. The group looked good. I had a paladin tank. There was a mage. And I'm trying to think, two hunters maybe? I can't remember. Does that sound right? Yeah. So anyway, we went in. The pools were kind of... They were fine, we're going. But when it came to the CC, I don't know if, the mage is just, never CC'd before, what was going on. But I even had to tell her to, spell still the bubbles off of the guys in the beginning because it can stack up. And then I get sick of decursive, telling me to take multiple bubbles off my party members.
Well, the other thing about that bubble is that if they're in the bubble and you attack them, then you get damage.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't understand why the mage couldn't spell still. I mean, it's on her freaking bar.
Maybe it isn't. Maybe he doesn't even know that it exists.
Probably not. And even after I told them to spell still, they did it once. I'm like, oh my gosh. Fine, I'll just purge it. So we get that down. And, I think the tank was even from our SERP. No, I'm sorry. That was for another run. Okay. So, we get to the first pack after we got, I was surprised that we got through the gauntlet. I was very surprised about that. So, I said all hex left and,
Was that the run where you were basically watching, is that the run where the people, are you up to the part where you did the... Oh, you're talking about the first gauntlet. No, you have more gauntlets to talk about.
Okay. It was before the gauntlet.
Is that the second?
I'm sorry. So before the gauntlet, because we actually lost a couple people. We lost our tank, and then we lost the mage. The mage just left during trash because they kept breaking the CC, and then there was a pat, and it's those guys that drop the green goo. Which I do not understand this. Why does everybody stand in the freaking green goo? If you see it, move it. I mean, I just don't understand. And they
Dude, because my deeps will go down, man. Yeah. My DPS will go down. Whatever. Just heal me. Heal me, dude. Just heal me.
Yeah.
Where were the heals?
Yeah, I can understand. I'm sure many healers get frustrated. So anyways, the tank and the mage left. I was like, whatever. I'm just going to stay in. And then we got a warlock. And the poor warlock comes in, and the new tank pulls. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, we don't have everybody here. One person's dead. The warlock comes in, we all die again. And what happened? My tank. Okay, so we get to the girl, and I said, I'll go left if the either the hunter or the warlock can fear on the right. So they're like, okay, so we're doing good. Hex my girl on the left, they get the right, but the tank forgets my hex. So what happens? The boss pops up again and they get her down again, and now we've got not just one girl casting, but now we've got three girls, and I can only hex one, and I'm trying to keep everybody alive, and we've got two of the big guys up, so three girls and two big guys. And by then, I had been in there for almost an hour, and we were only to the first boss, and I was just like, I can't take this. The satchel is not worth it. So I left.
Well, I had the same problem because we weren't doing enough DPS to get the two girls and the big guy down at the same time. So we would have the girl left, and she'd be running around, like, lightning people while the boss was, like, up.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's
so
bad.
I mean, I understand that my DPS isn't epic. It was, I think I was doing 7K on the boss, which, you know, is for an entry level, you know, it's not stellar, but for an entry level,
for Throne of Tide, that's okay.
Yeah, it seems like when, no matter what role you are, you want to blame a different role. So if the tank wants to blame someone, they'll say the DPS wasn't doing enough DPS.
Exactly.
Or if the healer can't keep up the tank, he'll blame the tank. And you know, sometimes there is those real concerns, but I don't know. It's just a far cry from what we were running a month or two ago, which was essentially just randoms on our higher level characters all the time and basically burning through them like nonstop with hardly any issues.
Yeah, it was a big change, like we talked about before in the podcast. The first podcast was Wrath of Lich King, you could just blow through. You didn't have to worry about mana. You didn't have to worry about CC. And Cataclysm was a real wake-up call for a lot of people. And people still try to just blow through it, which is fine. You know, sometimes you can get away with it, but it's not always the case, especially in, you know, Vortex Pinnacle. I had two hunters that had never been there before and was healing again. And they just, I don't know. The hunters just did not know what they're doing.
But where, where are they?
They're breaking the traps.
Yeah, traps.
And he died twice on the last boss because he didn't get into the triangle. And just, I just felt terrible for him. And I don't know.
So strange because it seems like with all the changes that they've made to the hunters, that trapping is essentially like easier than ever, and it's going to get even easier because in a future patch they're talking about removing aggro off of any CC.
Oh really?
You know how like if a rogue saps somebody and then like the sap wears off, they don't get any aggro? Well, all CC is going to have no aggro.
Oh, that'd be nice, especially for priests when they're mind controlling.
So, well, I don't know if mind control, but like I know sap, trap, repentance, sheep, hex. So like, okay, imagine this. You're in a pool and they mark up.
Right.
And so the sheep goes off, but nothing happens. The sheep goes off, then the trap goes off, and then the hex goes off, and the main mobs are just standing there waiting for the tank to attack the one mob that's still left up.
Yeah.
It's been a far cry.
I just think today was just not a good day to run any dungeons because even my stone core, I had one tank from our server and he left, and I guess I just do not understand that those sentries, if you don't kill them, they're going to keep grabbing multiple packs. And then the hunter, not only did he shoot the wrong group.
Oh, that was funny watching your
group.
But then
he shot another group on the right-hand side, and I was just like, oh my gosh. So we had three groups coming after us.
There were in Stone Court, the bosses aren't the hard part. It's that one.
It's that thing. Trash. That trash will kill you. It will tear a group apart if they do not know what they're doing.
I was on my rogue and I was basically like ambushing and like trying to do everything I could to kill those. See, that's the sad part is if I'm on my mage or if I'm on a hunter, like I'll just like take them out like no problem. But it's really strange because the difficulty of Wrath of Lich King the difficulty of Cataclysm was really hard at the beginning, but it's been getting easier and easier as time's gone on. And I think it's a combination of just knowing the dungeons better. But
people are still messing it up even in heroics.
Yeah, maybe they haven't played. Maybe they were waiting to play the game until the summertime. Maybe they were.
Maybe they should go back and hide.
Well, we're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we'll be bringing you some more fun chit-chat and discussion, so we'll be back in just a second. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Tram Rats Podcast, episode number 2. Yay.
Yay for us.
We have 100% more episodes than we did last time. So in this segment, we're going to be talking about a little bit about guilds, and then we're going to get into some PvP a little bit later. So we together run a guild on our server. That's one thing that happened. We hit level 25.
Woohoo!
Congratulations to us.
Pat on the back.
And I think I talked a little bit about the guild in last time, but we're pretty excited. Although, honestly, after playing on my Horde character and looking at the mount versus the Alliance one, have you even looked at your Horde version yet?
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
so,
it's better than the Alliance, I'm sorry.
So we had somebody whisper Pinky today and say, hey, I used to be in your guild, and my friend was over at my house, and he made me quit the guild. Or he quit the guild. And now this is and I would maybe normally believe this, except for this is something I've actually heard before. Someone will leave the guild, and then they'll come back and they'll be like, oh, I was in the other room and my brother made me G-quit. Or my brother G-quit while I was gone.
Yeah, that happened on my Horde guild. All of a sudden, like, this level 85 left and he's like, oh, my brother G-quit me.
That's like such a bunch of... Oh, anyway, so I just wanted to talk a little bit about some of the ways that I manage our guild. One of our rules in our guild is that if you leave the guild and you want to come back, we'll give you one chance to come back.
Would that apply to me if I left? Sorry. Okay,
if you leave again the second time, then you basically don't come back. You won't be able to be invited back at all. So the question is, how do you know if somebody's left your guild? And that's where I use an add-on called Guild Delta. And this basically, whenever you log on, it kind of compares your guild list to the guild list from before, and then tells you like if people's levels changed and if people left the guild or joined the guild while you're offline. And so what I do is I take all these, it saves it in a text form, or it displays it in a text format, and I copy all these texts every once in a while, like every month or so, into another text document. I search for everybody that's left, and I record who they were, all their notes, and the time and date that they left. And so that way, if somebody says that they want to come back and I recognize their name, I can go search that list and see, you know, they left once, or if they leave again, then I'll write, you know, second time and don't invite them back again and stuff like that. So, but it's just strange the things that you can kind of get away with by saying, you know, there's no way. Do you remember when... Pinky, do you remember back in Burning Crusade, there was a person who we had like a suspicion that they said that their account was hacked, but in reality, like, we thought that they were faking that their account was hacked?
You mean Burning Crusade?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
There was like
Yeah.
There was like some shady stuff going on with these two different guys, and they were logging on to each other's accounts, and I always wonder sometimes, people used to say, oh, I'm hacked and I don't have any gold or any money.
He ended up getting like 5,000 gold just from the guild. I remember that now. He's like, oh, and then he's like, oh, Blizzard gave me all my stuff back. He like mysteriously got it all back, which is, you know, probably true, but I don't think that was the truth. I think they ended up kicking him out of the guild.
Yeah, so I mean, the thing is, like, with the internet and with the game, there's no real way to tell, so you just kind of have to be aware of what's going on and set down good ground rules ahead of time. And so that's kind of what's been going on.
I haven't had too many of that happen, just a couple times, like where that guy left, then it came back, and then
left again.
Yeah, so we're like, see ya.
Yeah, well, the guy that left, that just got back into the guild, he's like, oh, what's the best way for me to get rep? He was in another guild. He was in another guild, and then he came back to us and saying that his brother had got him out, and he said, oh, I haven't seen you guys on, so I haven't been able to get an officer. And I'm thinking in my head, oh, I play this game quite a bit every day, and I'm like spamming every 10 minutes when I'm in the city that people to join the guild. And so our guild only allows or requires you to have a level 80 character in order to get invited to the guild. So here I am complaining on one hand that people don't know what's going on with the game, and then on the other hand, I won't let you into our guild unless you're a level 80.
So we're hypocrites. I guess we had to admit that.
Well, I mean, now that we're level 25, I guess the question remains, like, do we open up, now that we've kind of done everything, we're not a raiding guild, we're a guild perks guild. Now that essentially we don't need, you know, do we, you know, possibly open ourselves up as more of a casual guild? And I don't know. The guild is really quiet, and having reached level 25, if everybody in the guild quit right now.
Well, I think what you and I are struggling with is, I mean, we used to be those type of people, like, oh, how do I do this quest and how do I do that quest? But I think we just don't want to have to go through all that again. And we've been in guilds before where there's, like, you know, you're level 5, you're level 10. Oh, I don't know how to do this quest. Well, all the rest of us had to look it up on the internet or read guides and figure out how to do it ourselves. I mean, everybody's got to start somewhere, which I don't mind helping people out, because actually I was over where I was farming with Tazy, and there was a level 59 or 60 doing some Burning Crusade quests, and I just helped him because I was like, you know, I got to do these quests anyways because I need my Hellfire achievement. So I helped him out. I mean, I don't mind doing stuff like that, but I don't know. I can help someone out for a while, but when they just... You can tell when they don't want to do it themselves. They want you just to carry them. That's when I have an issue, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
WTB, run through VC.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. It's a tough because it's a tough call because I think if you're in the game long enough and you help enough people out, you start to get what we call Klingons. These are people that cling on to you, and essentially,
sounds like, isn't that from Star Trek?
Yeah, but they're like, they're the type of people that, like, if you're friendly to them, they'll, like, follow you around like a puppy dog and basically ask you every question that they have at all. Like, they're like your grandma. Like, when she finds out that you know about, like, the internet or, like, computers, she'll start calling you up every single question that she has. So the fact that our guild is kind of quiet, I don't know. I think in a way that's kind of like perfect for us. And I don't know if we allowed in, cause I mean, when we set up the, we have ourselves set up for the Looking for Dungeon tools. So people that are coming into the game and are just starting out fresh, can see our guild, but then they'll see that we're level 80s. So,
well, what's interesting about, I was just thinking about as you're talking about that, how you said we're quiet, you know, as far as our guild goes, but I think that also is like who we are in real life. I mean, you and I are kind of private people, and that's kind of how we are in the game, and we just kind of keep to ourselves, do our runs, things like that. You know, we have friends in the guild.
Yeah, we have, like, how many characters are in our guild? I'm not on my character, actually.
299.
I was, the mysterious fortune card guy quit and I sold I'm gonna log off this character because it looks like he pooped out, but actually, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna put up the rest of my cards.
But I mean, wouldn't you think that's true? I don't know, it's just kind of interesting. I was thinking about that as you're talking about it. So
yeah, I think it is, and what I set out to accomplish, I accomplished, which was essentially when I saw these rewards. Mm-hmm. Let me put out my bark now. Where is it?
But I think you and I, even in real life, I mean, we'll help out people if they have questions and things like that. I mean, my family's always teasing us, like, you and I are like the gurus. We know everything from A to Z. But at times we just like to be left alone. So I think that's kind of how we are sometimes.
Maybe we should... Yeah, I don't know, because, like, there's a good chance that there'll be a lot of level 25 guilds at some mm-hmm. point in the future, so the choice between it will be more and more, but I don't know. One of the things I think I like about our guild is that it's family friendly, like, and
Everybody seems to get along pretty well.
Yeah, and I had a person join the guild specifically that they were specifically looking for a family-friendly guild because they had an 8-year-old daughter that plays the game, and they wanted a guild that would allow that she would feel comfortable having her daughter play in the guild. So in that way, I think we've succeeded in what we want, what we set out to do. The question is, like, going forward, like, what happens? Maybe, but I don't know.
We're not the only guild out there that has restrictions, you know what I mean? Like, I know, I'm sure there's other guilds out there that don't allow, that only allow 80 and above or only 70 above for that same reason, you know? So
yeah, but I think more, it seems like more likely you'll find most of the ones, because I've started characters on a bunch of different servers recently, or not a bunch, but quite a few, and most of the time what you'll find is people saying it's an adult guild. It's an adult guild. It's an adult guild, meaning, like, they don't want kids in their guild, like, because they want to be able to, I guess, swear and talk about dirty things. I mean, that kind of stuff, and you know, that's not really how I roll in the game, and so
make it sound like we're old people.
Yeah, we are. So, darn kids, stay off my grass. All right.
So enough of that.
So let's go ahead and get into some PvP as I switch my characters off, now that I've essentially made that person selling the mysterious fortune cards cry.
I only need one more silver coin.
To get your achievement?
No, just to get the silver coin achievement.
Oh, I kept my last coin that I got, and I've kept it in my bank all this time. Oh, actually, no. I was going to say save your solid gold coins, but you're not actually doing that part.
Yeah, I am.
No. Like, the solid gold coins you get from the daily quests.
Oh, no.
I have my bank tab. I have, like, someday I'm going to, like, buy something from somebody, and when they go to, like, say, like, they want to buy it for 5 gold, I'm going to put five solid gold coins into
the trade window. Shut up. That would be awesome. I would totally take 5 solid gold coins from you. That'd be awesome.
Pretty sweet. All right. So we're going to talk a little bit about PvP, and that's the next little thing that we're going to talk about. And what we decided to do is essentially kind of give you guys a tour of, because we're being friendly to new people. We're trying to be friendly to people that never played the game before. So we'll take the chance now to go ahead and talk a little bit about what PvP has been for us from vanilla all the way up to nowadays. So Pinky Toes, you have a lot more experience in vanilla PvP. So do you want to talk to kind of give us a little, tell us a little bit about what PvP was like for you in vanilla. Miss Mage, who's casting. Oh my gosh, you're a mage with a pirate hat.
I'm not a mage.
Look at.
Oh my gosh, that's goofy looking.
Oh, I gotta turn off my NPC names. Okay, so can you tell us a little bit about PvP, what it was like back in vanilla for you?
I kind of remember a little bit about vanilla PvP. Arathi Basin the most, just because I was a lock, and so. For all those locks out there, I'm sure you remember that was just dot and run. That was so much fun. And I remember you had to turn in, was it tokens? Oh my gosh, so long ago. I'm probably getting this wrong. I remember you had to turn something in, and that's how you got your rep. And I think Clockwork, who used to be Binky, as corporal, so I didn't get very far, and then Pinky was, she just got to the private status, so nice. I look like a weird looking pirate.
She's a mage with a pirate hat and
not just any mage, a male mage.
Male with red hair and pigtails.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Well, what's best is I've got my skeleton fishing pole.
Yeah, I know.
So it matches. Coolest.
I think.
Okay, so I don't think I... Oh, and then we did... Okay, yeah, so I just did vanilla BGs back in the day. My brother actually did a lot more than I did. I remember he was like, oh my gosh, he talked about getting Marshall and how people had to take turns on the Horde side just to get the Marshall status, or not... Well, that's not for the Horde side, but for the Alliance side. And I just remember him always like, oh, I gotta do PvP, I gotta do PvP. I mean, he was always doing PvP. Always. And then I think he finally got burnt out. So, but do you remember when we were able to purchase the old school? I think when I hit 60, I got Pinky Toes, her shoulders. And what else? Maybe her chest? No, her shoulders and her headpiece from the PvP gear. That looks pretty cool. And I still have it on her. I can't destroy it, since I don't think you can get it anymore. So, did you do... I don't think you did much PvP in Vanilla,
no,
did you?
No, honestly, I only... This is my hidden shame, but I only got up to level 35 in vanilla. But I played after, so no, I didn't do any PvP. The only thing I remember about PvP, see, I worked at a video game company at the time, and so I heard a lot about stuff like PvP, and I knew that there was like Terran Mill and South Shore,
oh, yeah?
where there would be like Horde and Alliance would just do open world PvP, and listening to like the stories, kind of the epic battles that people talk about to this day. Even they'll say like, oh, some people say, oh, Terran Mail South Shore was the best PvP ever, and because there was no battlegrounds, it was just open world, like you would just go there and just fight each other. And I remember like I think my friend was saying that he would like go invisible and then like run into the middle of a bunch of Horde and do Frost Nova and stuff like that.
Nice.
Because I guess you didn't have to be flagged or something like that, or I don't know, maybe it was on another server that was PvP, but anyway, yeah, not a lot of experience with it. I do remember going into Wrathy Basin with you, but I believe that was in Burning Crusade. So
yeah, that was Burning Crusade.
Let's move on to Burning Crusade PvP. And for me, what I remember most about Burning Crusade is Arena. Arena was brand new, and we actually, me and you and your brother, did a 3v3 team. And we... because we wanted to, the only reason we did the PvP was because we wanted the shoulders that looked really awesome.
Was it two locks and a hunter, right?
Yeah, two locks and a hunter. So
do
we were like
what our,
triple
our,
D.
Arena theme was?
I don't remember. Do you remember?
Locks of Love.
Oh, locks of Love. That's right.
That's so messed up. I can't believe it.
And actually, I'm wearing the tier 5 shoulders right now, which is the arena season. It might have been a season 2, or maybe it wasn't, maybe it was season 1. I think season 1 actually had the green with mm-hmm. the open mouth, and it had like the green smoke coming out of it, but this was we did it in season 2 because I wanted those shoulders. And I wear two piece. I was actually, I'll talk about that a little bit later, but I was doing some soloing of stone of some Blackrock Caverns, but anyways, I have on my two-piece tier 5 set bonus, which heals my pet for 15% of the damage that I do, so in certain situations when you're soloing on a hunter. Anyway, so the shoulders are awesome. They have like kind of like a ram horn with like this white explosion glowy stuff coming out of it. It's basically the coolest looking hunter shoulders I think I ever seen. And actually, I'm kind of a collector of hunter shoulders, and I think I'm just trying to see if I have any in my bag. I had another pair. Oh, my bear shoulders. But anyways, where was I back? Oh yeah. So we essentially,
arena.
We did. Yeah. We basically lost 10 matches a week just so that we could, get this PvP gear. Cause at the time, I mean, there wasn't really a better way to get the gear, and we were doing Karazhan and stuff, and we wanted to have the best. And,
I'm not clapping for him.
Why is he a jerk?
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna
He's the one that...
I'm going to be nice to him and say congratulations. So I didn't have a lot. All I know about it, I think honestly that arena scarred me for life.
Yeah, you won't do arena anymore.
Yeah, I don't like arena. And it's just because I would like my hands would get all sweaty and like I would get all like all this adrenaline because
well,
like I'd always worry that I was going to do something wrong and screw up and
yeah
and so I think we did a little arena in Wrath of Lich King, but we didn't do much. So I think Burning Crusade was when I first started to do Battlegrounds. And at the time, there was like a daily battleground, I think, which would give you some bonuses. You had to queue at the battleground master. And,
oh, yeah, that's right.
We would do... There was this basically... Okay, this is the way it laid out in Burning Crusade, at least on our where on the at least in our battle group was the Alliance would win our Altrak Valley.
Oh my gosh, all the time.
And the Horde would win everything else.
Yep.
They would win Warsong Gulch, Arathi Basin, Eye of the Storm.
Oh, that was it. Remember? Eye of the Storm was like the new one, Burn Crusade.
Mm-hmm. So
AV was ours and they could have everything else.
Yeah. And so we would get... Oh, congratulations.
Why, thank you very much.
They would... But then what happened was they made some changes in Altrak Valley at one point, and the Alliance started losing Altrak Valley all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So the Alliance got mad because, hey, this was our one thing that we actually got a win on. And I think the theories at the time was that the reason that we won Altrak Valley was because we were better at PvE, and the reason why the Horde won everything else was that they were better at PvP.
Mm-hmm.
And Altrak Valley at the time was just a Zerg rush to the last boss and see who could kill him fastest. You would just like you could like slash wave at the Horde as you went along by, and so we would get honor for winning that, and then they would get honor for winning everything else. And the thing that always bothered me is that it seems like if the Horde is winning all the time, then that should probably mean that they're also going to get better PvP gear. Because if they're winning all the time, then they're going to have all this honor, and they're going to spend all the honor to get better PvP gear, which means they're going to win all the time. And it's like this vicious cycle. So So what happened was the Alliance boycotted PvP.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that's right.
Boycotted it and basically stopped queuing, because if you're going to lose it, everything else, and you're going to lose it, your one thing that you used to be able to win at, which was Altrak Valley. And so the queue times for the Horde like shot up. Like the queue times on the PvP for the Horde were like an hour.
I remember that. I totally forgot about that,
like
too.
Like an hour for one battleground. And all the time I've played, my queue times on Alliance has never been more than 5 minutes. Most of the time it's almost instant queue. So we'll talk about Wrath of the Lich King next, but yeah, so I think eventually I don't remember much else about PvP. I tended to not do as much PvP once I started kind of like raiding and doing a few things like that. I didn't do it as much. That was kind of my experience.
I just know that our arena team like fell apart twice because
we weren't performing up to her brother's standards.
Yeah, and he was like getting ragged on the forums and how our team sucked. But
well, he was trying to talk about PvP, and on the forums they were saying, well, you're crap. You have a crappy rating on your arena team, so basically shut up because you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so he like quit twice on us, and I don't think he's ever played arena with us ever again.
He did play with me, and that's why I talked about it in Wrath of the Lich King. So,
I apologize.
Do you have anything else to talk about Burning Crusade PvP?
I do remember that they changed the locks. It was no longer dot and run. It was Soul Link. Siphon Life Soul Link. That was the, supposedly that was the talent to have, but I still did. Affliction. I'll always do Affliction, so. But that was pretty much for Burning Crusade.
So let's talk a little bit about what happened. So the new expansion came out. We spent a lot of time leveling up and that kind of stuff, and that's when Wrath of Lich King came out. Wrath of Lich King introduced Isle of Conquest.
And I still don't like Isle of Conquest.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay, and then what's the next one that they introduced? the one that was at the end that has like the 40 man that we did today.
Gilneas?
No. The one where we were on that airship.
Isn't that terrible? We play PvP and yet we don't know what these battlegrounds are called? Okay, let me look really quick. Hold on.
Okay, well, while you're looking that up. So
Strand of the Ancients. I'm sorry. That's what I thought. You're right. Isle of the Conquest is the new one.
Okay, Isle of the Conquest is the new one.
Strand of the Ancients
is
the one.
Yeah, Strand of the Ancients. Yeah, so they did. They were all excited about vehicle play and all that stuff. But the one thing I remember about PvP in Wrath of the Lich King was that there was no dungeon. There's no looking for dungeon tool on Wrath of Lich King until about halfway through. So essentially, if you wanted to do a dungeon, like if I wanted to do Heroic Violet Hold, I had to spam trade, say looking for a tank, looking for a healer, and and wait. And when I did find a tank, I'd be like, okay, hold on. And I'd be like looking for helium. Cause I was the kind of person that, I mean, usually it was, if it was me and you and we were both DPS, I would look for a tank first. And then once I found a tank, I would start looking for a healer. And I think the thing is that something just occurred to me that's not exactly related to PvP, but maybe the reason why there's such a problem with the looking for dungeon tool is that one of the things that not having the looking for dungeon tool did was make me and you make tanks and healers.
Exactly.
Because if we wanted to put a group together, like if I wanted to put a group together, and I was a tank, all I'd have to say is, you know, looking for two DPS and a healer.
Oh, and you got them right away. I mean, you have like 50 people whisper you.
But nowadays a DPS just has to wait longer. I mean, essentially if me and you did do dungeons, but, we had to wait longer for them. But, I think your Mr. Pinchy and my Strand Crawler should have a fight, like Pokemon style.
I think mine would win.
So getting back to how this relates to PvP is that because there was no looking for dungeon tool, if I wanted to log in the game by myself and just do something for like an hour, like my options were like quest or try to put a group together for 30 minutes, which then would take another hour, or queue for dungeons or queue for battlegrounds. So correct. I spent a lot of time when I wasn't running with you or your brother, I was basically just queuing battlegrounds over and over again. And it was something it was like the old version of the looking for dungeon tool. So that's what I remember. We did some arenas. Me and your brother worked together on an arena team again. We tried a 2v2 team. And our name was Burst This, and it was essentially at the time when Death Knights and Death Knights and Paladins were pretty much just killing the crap out of everybody, and so they would just like do some massive burst damage and like kill you before you could even really do anything. And I think they've toned it down a little bit. You don't really get killed that fast nowadays, but. Yeah, so what do you kind of remember about PvP? Do you want to talk a little bit about what was the difference between our alliance and our horde when we actually switched to the horde side?
Yeah, what we take our mage over, and I took my priest over. I was just like, oh, I'm just going to take my priest over because I enjoyed healing.
I think I took a paladin over.
Yeah, you took your paladin and your mage, yep. And actually, my brother came over too. What did he take? His mage? Did he have a mage? I can't remember what he had. But he brought his player over to the horde side. And the queues were just a tiny bit longer on the horde side.
Oh, more than a tiny bit. They were like 15 minutes.
Yeah, but we were winning every single match.
But then we'd have to wait 15 more minutes.
Yeah, so, I mean, we got our gear like pretty quick, and then we went back over to the alliance side. We just instant queues and then we don't lose every match on the alliance side. When we actually...
We only lose 80-90% of them.
Just when we have good groups that actually work together instead of just fighting in the road or in the middle.
Yeah, so we thought we were going to have all this great fame and glory on the horde side with... Because when you're an alliance player and you're thinking that the horde always win, you're like, oh yes, I'm going to be on the horde side and I'll finally win every time.
Yeah, and I'll get the best gear I can get.
Because it seems like they're always together. They're always healing. Like there's always like two healers for every horde group that I seem like I run into. And the alliance are like, He-Man, I have the power. They're like, oh, I see a group of five horde. I'm going to charge in and I'm going to start killing. I'm going to attack all of them. It's like, yeah, not so much. And so the looking for dungeon tool kind of killed off my PvP. Plus, I took a big break right in the middle of the expansion. So
we both did.
That didn't really help. But
because we got bored with Ulduar.
Yeah. So I like Isle of Conquest, actually. There was a time period in Lich King when the hangar was broken. Like, it wouldn't work. And so everybody essentially, it basically took one of the nodes out of the game to where the point where like you'd either fight in the middle or go to the docks. And I think that actually made the battleground a lot better because it really focused the combat into like a few areas. And that was a lot of fun. But I think besides, I did play my prop paladin a lot in PvP. She had a PvP spec, and then she had a prop paladin. She was a female dwarf prop paladin. She was pretty awesome. She'd be throwing her shield and like attacking people, and it would take a long time to kill me, but I would also sometimes I would kill other people, but not usually. So now we're gonna move on to what PvP has been like in Cataclysm. And since you were the one that kind of gained an interest in PvP before I did, do you want to talk a little bit about what kind of got you interested in PvP and Cataclysm and what your and my experiences have been so far in Cataclysm? Now, because we started playing in PvP about 6 months after the game's launch, so.
Yeah. I think what, and I'm this is kind of sad, what got me interested in PvP again, was I didn't know what to spend my justice points on anymore. I was like, you know, I'm not like super geared out as far as my DPS goes, but it's like it's up there. I think I'm sitting at 357, 358 item level, and so I was just getting bored. Didn't really want to heal, and so I was just like, okay, well, I'll just take my justice points and convert them, and then I was like, ooh, PvP gear. And then, but I tried to do a, I think it was a Wrathy Basin, and I just, like, got slaughtered. I was like, this is not fun. So basically, I was like, okay, if I'm going to go do PvP, I'm going to have to spend some money and get just the auction house gear for now and then work my way up. And it's actually been quite enjoyable since I've gotten my gear up.
Yeah, but that's not how you really did it, though. Didn't you, like, just do dungeons to get your PvP gear?
Pretty much, yeah.
So you haven't bought that much gear off of the auction house.
Not too much.
Yeah,
so.
Just a few pieces.
But then I stopped doing dungeons because like my justice points are really low right now. So, and I've just been doing PvP to get my points now. So that was just a little buffer to do that at first. But I've actually been enjoying it a lot. I really like Twin Cities. That one's a lot of fun. Is that what's it called? Twin Peaks. Twin Cities, Twin Peaks. It's all the same diff. That one's like a giant Warsong Gulch, and I hate Warsong Gulch.
Yeah, what do you think that they did better with Twin Peaks than they did with Warsong Gulch?
Honestly, I have no idea because I don't see a big, huge like difference. Maybe it's like spread out a little bit more. I have no clue. I just know that I enjoy it a lot more.
I think that the biggest improvement that they made to Twin Peaks versus Warsong Gulch was that they made multiple entrances to the flag room.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's like three main areas to fight, plus there's like an area in front of the... Actually, it seems like Alliance tend to fight more in the front room of it, but you can go in through the water, you can go in through the side, you can go... You know, this is speaking as an Alliance, but you can go in the front and then either go down to the ground level or you can go to the second level, which Warsong Gulch is essentially the same thing where each one has a second level, but they really kind of expanded on the whole idea. And we were having some problems with a warlock that was using their teleport to basically, like, they had the flag, they would drop down, do a bunch of damage, and then when you were about to start killing them, they would teleport back up onto the top and just, like, heal themselves or do whatever. Not heal themselves, but I mean do something to get some of their life back. And in the meantime, you had to run all the way around up the stairs and then and get back to them. And then after you started attacking them, they'd drop back down again. So, and that's an old trick from Warsong Gulch that they used to use. But there was a funny story about Twin Peaks. I was helping our flag runner take the flag out, and he got up on his mount and rode off, and the flag just dropped.
A dummy
on the ground, and then somebody else picked it up, and then I was like, and then they dropped it and I picked it up, and so
that was we could have won that match if he had not gotten up on his horse. Did he think that he could just ride off on his horse with the flag? I mean, that's common sense. You're not allowed to mount up.
Yeah, there's still things I'm learning when I had the flag on my hunter. I was like sitting there like bashing like my deterrence button over and over again, and I was like, why isn't it working, my silence. And then I look on the side of my screen, it's like, you cannot do this while you're carrying the flag. So like, oh shoot. So so far I think for PvP and Cataclysm, I definitely can see what they were going for with the it takes longer to kill somebody. Like, you don't get killed in a instant anymore. Now, if you got five people or something, yeah, you're going to get killed pretty dang quick. But if you're in like a one-on-one situation, it seems like it comes down to the healer. Like, if whoever has a healer or whoever can heal themselves, like, pretty much wins the fights.
Pretty much.
So, and then, yeah, Battle of Gelnaeus was like a modified version of Arathi Basin, except for with...
Yeah, I don't like that one.
Two less bases. Yeah, it was a lot...
I enjoy Arathi Basin more than I did that. That one was just like a big giant ring around the rosies, which pretty much Arathi Basin is, but it was too big to do that. So, like, everybody was spread out, which is... Well, not everybody. The Alliance was spread out, so...
Yeah, so it's, you know, PvP is not like my number one priority in the game, but I think me and you have been playing a shaman combination, not for arenas, but just for battlegrounds, and I'm an enhancement shaman and you're a healer. Mm-hmm. And essentially, as long as you're around, I'll be like, are you there, and you're like, yeah, I got you. So I'm like, because I'm like, you know, I don't know if I need to like back off because I'm going to die or something. And there was a time where we were doing Battle for Gelnaeus, and I had an Earth Shield on me. So I'm like, okay, you know, she's near me. She's got an Earth Shield on me. And I start riding off and I like get killed. And I'm like, where were you? She's like, oh, I wasn't there. And I'm like, well, you had an Earth Shield on me. And I thought you had my back. So, but it is pretty awesome feeling when, you know, your wife is right next to you saying, I got you. And you're just like plowing in. And like, for some reason, they're so focused on you that they're like not even paying attention to the fact that there's somebody over there healing him. So it's good times. I think, you know, I think I have a lot of different characters, and I thought maybe I'd try. I first geared up my hunter, got him like, I think, four pieces from a mix of like Justice Point conversion and just doing other things. But I don't really think I'm going to keep playing my hunter in PvP. I think I'm going to go more towards my shaman.
Yeah, I think your shaman's just better because as a hunter, which is fine. I mean, you like, you can throw down traps. You know, your pet can attack, which is really annoying as far as like when you're trying to heal and like you got a pet attacking from behind. But when they get up in your face, hunters aren't really melee. So I don't know. I always think it's better. So to play as a shaman or a mage or something that can...
Yeah, when you got... You know,
but that's just me.
When you're by yourself, it doesn't make as big of a difference if you're a hunter, because, you know, at least on the Alliance side, everybody's pretty much on their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't heal each other, and we were talking to Nev, and she was saying how sometimes when you're on the top of the healing meters, it could be not because you're a good healer, but it could just be because there's no other healers in the Alliance side.
Oh, you just broke my heart.
You're not always the top. There's usually some pretty good healers in there, but so I don't know, listeners, are you guys Horde or Alliance PvP? If you've had some of the same experiences on the Horde side, let us know. If you don't know what the heck we're talking about on the Alliance side and you're and you win all the time, let us know what server you're on, and we'll come over there and win with you guys, because you know, I think overall there's a lack of excitement about togetherness on the Alliance side. It's like, for the Horde has like, for the Horde, oh, we're the Horde and we're evil. And I always thought like people tended to gravitate towards people that were vicious and wanted to kill people, wanted to gravitate towards the Horde side, and like people that wanted to pick flowers and sing la-di-da all day long go towards the Alliance side.
Yep, I met a few Horde that like wave to me and kiss me and flirt with me.
That's because you're a gnome.
Oh, okay.
They're just trying to get you. They're trying to get you close enough so that they could punt you off. Nice.
Nice, but it's been fun, you know, as a healer being in PvP.
Yeah, do you
want
to talk?
Healing you.
Talk about what it's like to heal in a BG, because I noticed that for me, healing in a battleground is one of the most satisfying things.
You could like literally win or lose, and when you see yourself as like, well, as Nev put it, not just because sometimes if you're on the top means that no one else is healing. But it's just nice, like, to see that, like, in the top three, you know, as far as healers go, even if we lose, I'm like, hey, you know, I kept maybe two or three more people alive so that we were so close that we almost won. And sometimes it's just, you know, we get stomped and there wasn't really anything you could do. But I don't know. I enjoy healing in PvP. I just can't DPS. It's not for me. I hate when they come after me and they just stomp me. I mean, they'll do that anyways as a healer because you always want to go after the healer. But sometimes I get left alone a little bit more because they're working on the DPS. So
there's two things about healing in BGs I think are really satisfying. One is bringing somebody back from the verge of death.
Oh my gosh, that's like the best feeling. Like on my grid, it'll say they're like 1.5 away from like dying, and like I'll throw like two greater heals, and then I'll have like three more alliance come and help that one person, and then we'll just kill like the five horde that were around us. That's always satisfying.
Yeah, exactly. And the second one that's reason that I think it's satisfying is when somebody tries to kill you, and you get the joy out of seeing how long it can take.
Oh my gosh! And that's what happened in Battle of Ganaeus. I had a hunter after me. I was the last one alive, and they were taking our flag. I can't remember which spot it was at. And this hunter kept chasing me, and I kept throwing Riptide on myself and Earth Living.
Earth Shield.
And my Earth Shield. And it literally took him like five, almost 10 minutes to take me down. And Torque almost, well, Flex, but he was on his Shaman. He almost got to me to help me out. But the guy, like, finally killed me because he had a little priest help him. But I was just laughing. I mean, he was geared out, but yet, how long does it take for someone to kill a healer, you know? So that's always fun, too, just to sit there and, like, heal yourself to death, and they still can't take you down.
Yeah, you're like, follow me, I'm going to heal myself. Oh, wow, look, I ran into a bunch of my friends, and you're going to die.
You're all going to die. Yeah, that's always the best. I like doing that.
Yeah, PvP is... It's a nice diversion, and I think that it could be something that we kind of look more into as time goes on. Now that, like, kind of leveling characters is kind of over for us, I think most of the characters that we have that are high level are going to be high level. There's not really, like, since we don't raid, like, the whole 4.2 thing is, until they come out with more five-man content, I don't really see us, like, I think we're going to probably do the Firelands dailies, at least I am. Kind of like how it was with Burning Crusade, where we were doing our Isle of Kaldanos dailies. But
I think you and I just got burnt out on raiding, to be honest with you. And it's not that we don't want to, but we just did it so much in BC and halfway, you know, through Wrath that we're just like, we're done.
Yeah. It's not, you know.
It doesn't hold. I mean, and props out to those people that are hardcore raiders. I mean, that's awesome. You know, you're getting the best gear, you know, you're doing the best DPS. But for me, I just don't do that anymore. I actually just enjoy just doing whatever in the game now. Mm-hmm. So it's more like a social thing for me.
Yeah, and I think that the main thing is it's just the amount of coordination. Now, the thing is that now that I decided to make a guild and I'm a guild leader, like I'm the one that would be like more responsible for either putting the raid together or setting up a raid leader. Now, let's just say for a second that maybe we didn't decide to make our own guild, but instead we decided to join another guild. We might be raiding nowadays. Who knows? I mean, we dedicate enough time to our characters that if somebody else, like say somebody else had 23 man raid like set up every week and we can slot into it, yeah, we might be we might do it a couple times a week and we might be raiders now, but that's not the path that we've kind of that has kind of taken us. We're more into the small group and just two people, which, you know, the game is big enough that there's all different sorts of things for people to do in the game.
Exactly.
So
now before it wasn't like that. I mean, you either raided or you leveled up characters. There was like no just sitting around farming.
I just wanted to give a little update before we kind of wrap up the podcast. I've probably sold about 46 Mysterious Fortune cards, and I'm making another 60, so...
Oh, he says they're 10 golds now.
Yeah, that That's his macro. So we really appreciate you guys listening to the Tram Rats podcast. We really enjoy making it. It's fun to get to reminisce, to talk a little bit about what's been going on and in the game, and hopefully in the future we'll possibly get some guests on, but you know, we kind of record the podcast when the mood hits us. And so thanks again for listening. We got our updated website going, and we're going to plan to get iTunes going here pretty soon. But until then, you can always subscribe to our RSS feed, and I'm going to be working on getting a podcast only RSS feed. So maybe by the time that this is out, we'll have that available if you want to put that into your iTunes or your feed reader or whatever. So Pinky, is there anything else you want to talk about or anything else you want to say before we wrap this all up?
I don't know, but now you make me want to start a blog about Pinky. Or not specifically about Pinky, but about my tunes. So maybe I'll do that.
You should. I have a blog that I've written in a little bit, but I'm going to actually, if I get enough time between Power Word Gold, which is at powerwordgold.net, between this podcast, and I have another general World of Warcraft blog. But yeah, I think that'd be awesome. I'd love to see some screenshots and stuff. And I've set up the blog with Tram Rats so that if you wanted to, we could make posts that you could post straight on the Tram Rats if you wanted to write about it. So maybe you could do a few guest posts there and see how you like that. And then if you like it enough, you know, move on. So, all right. Well, thanks a lot for listening, everybody. And we will see you next time.
Bye bye.
Music use in this episode of the Tram Rats podcast includes His, Yours, or Mine, All Epiphanies, Commodity, Too Many Stars, and The City, Firecracker, all by Unwoman from the album Unremembered. All music was used under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 Unported License. To find more music by Unwoman, head to unwoman.bandcamp.com. To find out more about Creative Commons licensing, head to creativecommons.org.
Because you're on Do Not Disturb.
Oh.
Okay,
do you hear me okay?
Yeah, but here.
Is it like this? Is it your breath?
Oh, the sound of your breath won't make the sound.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I'm trying not to breathe.